Today we're going to talk about foods that don't need Bishul Yisrael. I chose that topic because it's almost Hanukkah. Last time we're going to talk about these kind of things before Hanukkah. So the way I thought of it was the Ivanim were trying to get Klal Yisrael to be mixed up with them, so I want to get us together and integrated with them. So this is one Takanas Chazal made to keep us separate, and keep us apart. So I figured that was a good enough choice for a reason to choose this. And I didn't want to talk about olive oil, so that was the other choice, Okay. As usual, today's going to be like a Kitzer type of share. There's three things that help us decide whether it's criteria, whether something needs to be Bishul Yisrael, and they are: it has to not be pas, that's one thing; it has to be nechachai, not edible raw, and it has to be olah shulchan aruch. Okay, so that's what we're going to talk about. So the two of the takanos that Chazal made, the first one is about not being a pas. Two takanos Chazal made are called pas Yisrael and Bishul Yisrael, and there's a big difference between them. They're similar, that a yid has to be some part of the cooking. But one significant difference is that nowadays, for whatever reasons, we say that pas paltur is mutter. Pas made by a commercial baker is mutter. So essentially that means is when we give hashkacha, something is pas, we from a hashkacha perspective, don't have to care whether the yid is part of it, because pas paltur is mutter. As consumers, also, many people eat pas paltur, that's sort of a separate issue, but from a hashkacha perspective, if the food is considered to be pas, then, so to speak, we're off the hook. We don't have to worry about it being part of it. If a food is not pas, then we have to think, maybe it needs Bishul Yisrael. But if it's pas, then we're off the hook. So our first qualification to see if something needs Bishul Yisrael is, maybe it's pas. Okay? So it turns out there's three things that it takes to make something to be pas. And you have to have all three of these in order to be considered pas. Okay, the first one is that it has to have the chamesh shemini dagon. It's got to have, it has to have at least some of the chamesh shemini dagon in it. So, for example, if you have rice or rice cakes or corn tortillas or things like that, they're not possibly pas. And therefore, then at least they're in the potential to be in the rules of Bishul Yisrael. And this I'll mention. Mention that there are things that are gluten-free. People have this impression if they're gluten-free, then they don't have the chamesh shemini dagon. I just throw in that there's such thing as gluten-free oats. That's one of the chamesh shemini dagon. And therefore, those things potentially in pas. Again, if it is or is not, but it's not automatic that it's not pas. Okay, that's the first. The second is, this thing that's made with the chamesh shemini dagon has to have teresa d'nehama. It has to tayar lechem. It has to look like bread, which means is, an example, with the rule, din comes from Tosfos. Tosfos' example of what does not have tayar lechem is pasta. Because bread is soft and fluffy, and pasta is hard, but it's like pliable. It doesn't all seem like fluffy like bread. So that doesn't have tayar lechem. It's not teresa d'nehama. So certain other things that are more, many people will say don't have tayar lechem. It's like breakfast cereal and little pretzels. Because they don't have tayar lechem. There's a shaila about whether wraps do or don't have teresa d'nehama, whether they have tayar lechem. That has an interesting twist to that shaila to it, because it's a befeirish among Avram that a wrap does not have tayar lechem. It's so thin and like that, it doesn't at all like bread. And the shaila, what it depends on, why should you think it does? I mean, it's really a befeirish din that doesn't, is because is tayar lechem something that's an objective standard? If you look at a wrap and you look at a piece of bread, they have no shaykh. They don't look at all like each other. They're very different from each other. So no, it doesn't have tayar lechem. Or should you say, it depends on what people eat with meals. People, what do people make sandwiches out of? So with a piece of bread, you make a sandwich. You don't make a sandwich out of spaghetti. So in that case, when the Mother of Rome says, no, nobody makes sandwiches out of that. But nowadays, that people do make sandwiches out of it, it became a normal thing that people do that. Well, maybe that's just
a problem. That was matzah. The Karchi Rifsa, they always use that language. They had wraps, they actually ate wraps, and that was matzah.
And therefore what?
The flat ones were matzah.
And therefore
the hummus, and the flat ones were matzah.
And therefore?
I don't know, some people, I'm not confident at all that that's not. That's not Toya Levin.
So it's Magen Avraham. I'm saying that's Magen Avraham.
He's thinner. Magen Avraham's thinner. I don't know.
No, not thinner than a rat. Rat is as thin as it gets. I mean, what's thinner than that?
A wafer.
The wafers you think are thinner than that? Okay.
That's what the Rabbi Papa told me.
Okay. Okay.
But what about the fact that it probably was matzah? It's probably what the real
and therefore what?
Was obviously it's Toya Levin. It was the olden day matzah.
Right, so I think of olden day matzah as being more like a pita or a lava. Yeah.
Pita, you know, pita's chametz.
Oh, it doesn't have to be chametz. It doesn't have to be chametz. No, you know, pita doesn't have to be chametz. If you make
it like a wrap.
If you make it quickly. You should make it in less than 18 minutes, it'll be chametz.
It doesn't look like a wrap, you make it quickly.
Why? You make it as thick as you want to. It could be a matzah could be up to a tefach thick. I mean, you can make it as thick as you want. The thickness does not make it not a... Okay. I watched somebody make pita. A million years ago, watch them make pizza. They mix flour and water, they put it onto the thing, and 3 minutes later, they had a pizza. There was no, it didn't rise, it didn't have any yeast, nothing, flour, water, they put onto the thing.
It wasn't like a wrap.
No, it was a pizza. It came out like a real pizza.
It's like a pizza.
Yeah, like matzah.
The third criteria
to be lechem is, it has to be baked. Okay, which is to say is, something that's fried or cooked is not considered a pas. It's not considered a pas. So, for example, we have donuts. So donuts are fried. Donuts are fried. So even though they have tar lechem, they're very bread-like. They're fluffy and like exactly like a piece of bread, and they have the milchim should be tarlechem. But since they're fried, they're not considered to be passed, and therefore they're potentially in the rules of Bishul Yisrael. That might potentially be Bishul Yisrael. Okay, now, after I told you all those, the three things that make something into pass, there's one more thing, like a separate thing, which is...
The fried thing is machlokes, right? Machlokes
is correct, and we pass it. I didn't say it's automatic. I said, okay, now, the within things that are in the rules of pass, there's a sort of a subcategory, which is possible kissing. Passive kisten is things that are they're sort of pass, but they're sort of not pass. Okay, in Or Chaim it gives three examples of it. We'll take those three examples. One is things that are crunchy, like the crackers. That's one kind of thing that's passive kisten. One is things that have something else mixed into it or put on top of it, like pizza. Okay, so it's a dough. The dough is perfectly fine, like plain old dough, but it has some topped sauce and cheese. And the other one is something that has a lot of additives that make it have a big taste, like the chocolate cake. Okay, the chocolate cake, again, is everything else about pas about it, except that it has this chocolate in it that makes it have this really strong taste. So those are pasa b'kisten. So in Hilchas Challah, those are considered pas. You have to be mafra shalach from them. In Hilchas Brachas, they have this in-between status that depends how you eat it. If you make a meal out of it, you make hamotzi, and if you eat it like a snack, you make mesonis. But the Rambam says that for pas, for our dinim, it's considered pas also. Like in Hilchas Challah, it's considered pas. it's considered pas, and therefore... we wouldn't have to have, you would have to be participate in making it. We'd be pas balta, it would be matzah. Okay? And so that's our first condition. First thing we have to get through is, to get to the rules of Bishul Yisrael, we have to make sure it's not pas, so we have pushed away all these things that might potentially be pas, that to need Bishul Yisrael, it has to be past that point. Okay. So now the other two things we'll talk about are the well-known things, is it has to be not nechachai, and the oil shomach. So nechachai is like this. For most foods, it's pretty obvious whether a food is nechachai. Okay? If you have an apple, the apple's a nechachai. And if you have a potato, or you have rice is not nechachai. Okay? It's pretty straightforward. Which one, most foods, it's pretty obvious whether they're edible raw or they're not edible raw. Okay? So there's a couple of details to talk about. And that's like this. What happens when we have a food, that you can't eat it raw by itself? But you could if you mix it with other foods. Okay, if you mix other foods together with it, then you'll be able to eat it raw. Okay, so there's machlokes about this, machlokes rishonim about that, and nachmanim as well. Mishmur is makel about that. Okay, and that thing is considered to be nechachai, and therefore onions are an example of this, of a food that's considered nechachai, because even though most people wouldn't eat onions raw, if you could sit there, it would make it easier for me. Most people wouldn't eat onions straight. Okay, they wouldn't just eat raw onions. Most people, but if you chop them up and put into salad, people eat them all the time like that. Okay, so onions in the salad is fine.
Is it true?
So on today, because we're doing a Haskaka practicum, I don't have Maror Mekaymus. I have chapter 44. You have to go look at my Sefer Shabbos. No, I don't remember, because if I had Maror Mekaymus on the bottom, I'd tell you, but here the Maror Mekaymus says, look in the Sefer in chapter 44, this whole section. So you go back to your office and you can... So they said to Rossi, okay, if that's true, they said, so then potatoes are also nechachai, because there are people who chop up tiny pieces of raw potatoes, slivered potatoes, into their salads also. Mm-hmm. There's such a musag, people do that. So he said, no. He said, those people aren't eating. It's not onions that you like onions, but they're really strong, so you put them into a salad, but in the salad, they taste perfectly fine. He says, over here, it's like you want to have the crunchiness of the raw food. It's like sort of like excites your palate to eat this unusual food. He says, but you're not really liking raw food.
Raw potatoes crunchy.
Yeah. So it's like a twist to your food. So he says, that doesn't bite. Okay. So now, so the question: if I told you that onions are nechachai because you could just by cutting them up and mixing them with some other stuff, all of a sudden you can make them edible. So now the question is, so how about fish? Fish, you could use it. If you take fish and you put a lot of salt onto it and you mix it with salt, it's something called brining, you put a lot of salt onto it, then you can eat them also without cooking them.
What's separate about fish?
No. I should have thought to talk about sushi. I didn't think that. I'm not prepared.
I'm
putting sushi on
top. Sushi, which is cut up fish.
Okay, so I forgot to include sushi in here. So I'm not going to talk to you about sushi. You put that on the side.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, you have fish.
Yeah.
With sushi.
Right.
So you say exactly right.
Of course not.
Okay. We're not going to talk about that.
He's not talking about sushi. He's disputing you. You said it's fish and not a kokai.
Okay.
It's only a steak tartare. You eat meat raw. People eat ground meat raw.
Okay. So the question is, by fish, you could take even people who wouldn't eat sashimi, okay, wouldn't eat the raw fish like you guys did. But even people like that, if you take fish and you put a lot of salt, put enough salt onto it, let it sit for a while, then you can eat it. You're brining it, and it becomes perfectly edible. So if so, why do we say that fish needs to be bishul yisrael? Why do you say it's not nechachai? Of course it's nechachai. If onions can be cut up and mixed with cucumbers and all of a sudden they become edible, that's good enough. So fish that I cut up, excuse me, I take fish and I put some salt onto it and I let it sit for a couple of minutes, then it's good enough also. Okay? So it's the answer, once you hear the answer, you'll see it's obvious. You think that's why you're sitting here scratching it, it's not even a question. Because it's obvious. Okay? This is Rav Falk said this and Chalkus Biyam says, and anybody would say that if you think for a second you'll realize the difference. The difference is like this. In the case of the onions, you're eating raw onions. You don't want to eat such a strong thing. The onion itself is too strong. So you mix it with cucumbers and tomatoes, and now you can eat it, but the etzem, you're eating raw onions. Okay, you have to do something just to make it, you can eat it raw, just like sort of spread it out a little bit. But the fish, you don't want to eat the raw fish. You want to eat fish that's not raw. You made it unraw through a process that in Hilchos Bishlakim, making things edible through cooking is not considered cooking. That's a detail in Hilchos Bishlakim. But really, you made it not raw anymore. It's not raw fish anymore. It's not the onion, which is still a raw onion, but you have only a little less of it rather than the whole thing. Here, it's not a raw fish anymore. The fish is not raw anymore. It's now part of the fish that you have is now a cooked fish. Okay, it's not cooked technically for Bishlakim rules, but etzem, it's made not raw anymore. When it was in the raw state, most of us wouldn't have eaten. Okay? So that's why fish are not considered nechachai. Okay, so that explains the difference between onions and fish, but that
that type of fish. If you did it in fish and the God cooked it, it would be okay, right?
Yeah, yes, if you made it, yes, you're correct. If you would do that to the fish, now it's edible. At that point, if the God cooks it, it would be nothing. Yes, that's correct. And in fact, that's what they do. I wasn't going to talk about that. But there's a salmon. There's two ways to prepare, like to make salmon. You could cold smoke it. That's fine. That's fresh. Then a God could do it. Then there's hot smoked salmon, which is basically cooked in an oven, and then they sprinkle smoke flavor onto it. So in order to make it, that would be bishlakim. So a long time ago, when they started making this idea that you could hot smoke things with basically just in an oven, someone from the UU, Rabbi Swota, convinced the companies that They always brine it first, and then they smoke it. So he convinced them that instead of brining a little bit and smoking a lot and cooking a lot, they should brine a lot and smoke a little and cook a little. Mm-hmm. And this way, it's completely edible before they get to the to the smoking stage, to the hot smoking. So the whole industry does it because of him. Literally, and he did it for conscious reasons. He convinced him to do this. His motivation was for the conscious of it. So you have to check it. Like, we used to go to Hashkach on a place that they had smoking. And that's what we did. We tasted it first to make sure that they brined for long enough that by the time they got to the cooking point, it was not officially dissolved. Anyhow, so now comes a question. So Gerson asked a question. He said, you know, Rebelsky said that the reason why beets don't need to be visually swallowed is because of Nechachak. Because you could take beets and you could eat them, mix them with horseradish, and then it's what we call grain, prepared horseradish. We call it grain. But that's what you eat. It's beets with horseradish. So you could eat beets raw. You can't eat beets raw by themselves. You bite into them and you can't eat them. But if you into a raw beet, but if you mix it with horseradish, all of a sudden you can eat it. So he said,
it's
raw. Well, some people cook it. Commercially, no, they don't cook it. To which, Rabbi Gerson said, he says, yeah, they don't cook it. In your house, you might cook it. Commercially, they don't cook it, but they pickle it. What they do is they pickle it with the horseradish, and then that makes it edible. He says, so we're doing the same thing. We're taking something that be'etzem, you wouldn't eat it raw. We're finding a way to make it edible, not, again, through a way that's technically not cooking for Hilchos Bishlakim. Pickling is technically not considered cooking for Bishlakim. And we're making it unraw, and then we're eating it. Mm-hmm. He says, so that doesn't count. That's the same as the fish. We found a way to make it not raw. That's why we're eating it. We don't be'etzem eat it raw. Nobody eats beets raw.
So there is Bishlakim.
So he's saying, and therefore, he's a question on Rebelsky.
Right.
I don't remember Rebelsky answered, if he answered that.
I thought you said for Rebelsky that, not sure, they just put it in straight raw.
But it's not the truth. Okay. That's not the truth. But it's not the truth that they put it in. So Aaron Schwartz thought this was correct. We told him what Gerson said, he said, yeah, that was correct.
First,
so
they pickle it first.
And the male, that doesn't count. You can't call Nechachai because of that. Now, it happens to be that beets don't need Bishri Yisrael for a different reason, because they're not Oshachamachim. That's a separate angle of it. Okay, but from the Nechachai angle of it, that didn't seem like such a good argument. Okay. Now, next is, if you have foods that are Nechachai, but only there's two versions of how the Shulchan Aruch brings this. One are things that are barely edible raw, and one of them that are passably edible raw, like Aydeh Chak, you know. So in the ones that are passably edible raw, he has certain kinds of fish that he has that are passably edible raw, and we're machmir on there to say that that's not considered nechachai. That needs bishri yisrael, because even though you could eat it, but it's very hard to eat. It's a case that Shulchan Aruch has of a certain kind of fish that you eat with a little salt on it, and all of a sudden you can eat. And in another case, eggs are considered barely edible raw. There's a machlokes in the Gemara, and there we paskin that they are not considered nechachai. Right? Eggs are not considered nechachai because you could eat it, but you're passively like ayde chak. It's like really ayde chak. It's like more unreasonable to eat it. And they need fishy souls because they're not considered nechachai. Okay, so what about that? There are. Foods that are made, though, you can make desserts with eggs that are not cooked. Okay? There's different couple of options of ways to use eggs that are not cooked that make them edible, that make them that you could eat them. So the feeling is that Hagam, that it's true, there are ways to do it, but 99% of the eggs are not eaten like that. You know, so there's such a thing. There is such a way to eat them raw. But the overwhelming majority of eggs, you know, our company makes it amazing.
Something or something.
What?
Always mix it to something.
There's different ways to make it. Maybe like your example of ice cream is mix into other things. But that wouldn't bother us if there's a way. If that would also be nechachai. But lamais is there's such a tiny percentage of the eggs are made like that. You know, we have, you know, our company makes a million eggs a day, hard-boiled eggs. That's the way normal people eat them cooked. So the fact that there is a meshuggah way to eat them, you know, not only meshuggah, one unusual way to eat them, that's not
unusual. It's unusual. It's just not a minority.
It's a very small minority that doesn't count. Okay, we're going to come back to eggs in a few minutes. Okay, for now we're just leaving the eggs the way they are, which is that they're nechachai de'etchak, and so I say real de'etchak, and therefore that's not considered nechachai. Okay, Okay, one more thing to do with Nechachai, and that is like this. The Shach says, here's a food called they are hard agasim. I don't know what they are. I mean, in modern Hebrew, that means an agas is a pear. I have no idea if that's what it really meant. Some kind of food, whatever it is. He says that generally people eat it when it's cooked, but you can eat it raw. Yeah, if you want, you can eat it raw. Okay, so the Shach says that food is considered nechachai. That food is nechachai, and it does not need to be issues. So that's what the Shach says.
Like squash, zucchini.
Maybe I don't know how hard I got it on. Maybe is that you could really eat it if you wanted to.
Right.
Okay,
not
so
salad, but most people eat it cooked.
Okay, maybe. So like this, Rabasi explained like this. I'm not even sure if your squash is a good case. Maybe, and because like this, he said it's a food that that people, if you ate it raw, it tastes perfectly fine. It tastes fine when you eat it raw. But people prefer the cooked taste. It's like a preference. People like that food better in the cooked form. And since they like it better in the cooked form, that's they like that, and almost everybody's eating like that. But Lamai says it's perfectly fine in the other form, as opposed to a potato. Potatoes don't taste good raw. Okay, it's not like we prefer them cooked. They don't taste like any raw. You can't eat them raw. Okay, so imagine if one day America would switch and everybody would eat only baked apples. Okay? They wouldn't eat raw apples. Okay, so that would be the thing. Everybody wanted to eat their apples as baked apples, but the raw apples would still taste perfectly fine. So the fact that we have a preference for baked apples wouldn't make a difference. It wouldn't make them not nechachai.
I didn't hear carrots was like animal.
Yeah, I was about to say carrots.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but now there's a decent percentage that eat them raw.
Yeah, right. Certainly, right. No, but it's fine. So he's saying if we go back then and we look at it with the people, when you eat it raw, so if people consider it edible, maybe their tastes were different. They tacos taste strange. I don't know. You know. Okay. Now, because of that, the nafkamina from the Shach was like, okay, the Shach is talking about some fruit that we never heard of, was for sweet corn. Okay, there's two types of corn. Most of the corn that you see growing on the side of the highway is what they call cow corn or field corn, which you can't eat. I mean, you have to cook it for hours to make it edible. Okay? It's a whole process to make it edible. It's like what you make tortillas out of. It's a kind of a corn. Most corn products are made of this field corn that are very, no way in the world that it's nechachai. And I have a chance that it's nechachai. But the corn that you have, like canned corn or corn on the cob, that's sweet corn. It's a different variety of corn. And it's typically, we eat it cooked. And it's a normal thing you do when you have corn. You take corn on the cob, you cook it. Or canned corn is also, of course, if it's canned, then it's cooked. Okay, those are cooked foods. But, to the surprise of most people, it tastes perfectly fine raw. Okay, it tastes perfectly fine if you eat it. If you take a bite out of sweet corn, okay, if you take a bite out of field corn, you'll probably break your teeth. But if you take a bite out of sweet corn, it tastes perfectly fine. Right, that's what most people say. Come on, it can't be such a thing.
Supermarket and pick up corn on the cob. Unhusked, you just eat it.
Yes. Yes. 100%. So
you've tried it.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Not the supermarket. It only stands on the side of the road to eat.
Yes.
Yeah, we may have to start with the language if we want to eat straight out of the supermarket. I'm not sure if we're allowed to say that. You could just eat them. But yes.
At that point, we weren't.
Yeah. At those days. So that's our basket. That's the reason why canned corn doesn't need to be mishri yisrael. Doesn't need to be mishri yisrael because it's this shach that's talking about. This is an example of that shach. So Rav Shachter said, okay, the shach is fine, no problem. The shach is correct. He said, but the shach says that people like almost everybody eats it in the cooked state, but there are people who eat it raw. He says, so at least there are some people eating it raw. He said, but we have a food that you say in theory it's nechachai. In theory, and if you actually go to the supermarket and you taste it, you'll find it's nechachai. He said, but nobody eats it raw. So he says, so how can you tell me? Wait a second. So he says, how can you tell me that that's considered nechachai? He says, in theory it would taste good. He says, and most people's reaction is like you said, really? No, of course you can't eat it raw. So why would, just because there's such a thing, in theory that's not good enough. Okay, so that's what Shachter said. So, years later, when I was here at the CRC, we polled our Twitter followers and asked them to answer what they think about it being nechachai. Okay, so we got about 200 people responded to that request, the thing, and it came out that be'erach 13% of the people said they eat it raw once in a while, and 6% of the people said they do it all the time. They eat it raw. Okay, so that, in other words, that it's not nobody. It's not only crazy kids who grab it out of the bag and eat it, but there's a it's enough that we should say it's good enough. That's considered nechachai, because be'etzim it is. Just Rosh Hashanah said, but nobody does it. Not true that nobody does it. The Taka people do.
But of course, they have another answer. They can't food in another Rosh Hashanah.
Why do you think that canned corn is not Rosh Hashanah?
Canned corn?
Yeah.
They would never serve canned products at a banquet.
That's a myth. Why do you think they wouldn't serve canned? There are those who say that, but it's a case by case. There's no etzim rule like that.
Really? I thought it just it's a case of quality. They would never do that.
I don't know.
Chapter, the OU canned corn is straight.
That was his argument. He was saying was, whether they follow that, I don't understand. His argument was that the corn, nobody eats it, you know? I don't know if you heard about our poll, but okay. Okay, so now we move on to our last criteria, and that is to be Oleh Shulchan Aruch. So the first thing is just to define what that means, to be Oleh Shulchan Aruch. So there's a famous story. Der Schwab went to the Chazon Ish. He spent this famous Shabbos there, like 1,000 stories of when he spent the Shabbos at the Chazon Ish. So he spent time with the Chazon Ish. I'm sorry. Yeah, that was the story of the Chavetz Chaim. Sorry. Separately, he went to the Chazon Ish. And the Chazon Ish told him that sardines need to be Bishul Yisrael. So he said to him, and of course they're not. But I mean, nowadays...
Did they come in cans in those days?
Yeah. Sardines. Oh, they're born in cans. You know? So the sardines, of course, and then there wasn't like Hashkachas back in those days. So people eating sardines, it was not Bishul Yisrael. There wasn't any chance of it being Bishul Yisrael. So he said, what are you talking about? But I know all these Rosh Yeshiva who eat sardines. They're just regular sardines. There's no special salt. They're no ashkach anything. So he says that, and Schwab said, because they don't think it's Oleh Shulchan Aruch. And we think that anybody serves sardines at Shulchan Aruch. And Chazon Ish said, no. He says, the Queen of England, I'm sorry, at that time it was the King of England, that's how long ago it was, the King of England eats them for breakfast. So that's Oleh Shulchan Aruch, because the King of England eats them. Okay, so the machlokes we're hearing, the two sides we're hearing here is, does Oleh Shulchan Aruch means that the king eats it? Meaning, there are certain things that it's like not, it's below his dignity to eat a certain kinds of food. He had certain self-respect that he wouldn't eat certain foods, which is a very small group of foods. It's a very small category. And nowadays, our kings have, you know, stepped down that many rungs that there's almost nothing. You know, maybe it only means that he eats at a meal. Okay, so maybe like his snack foods don't count. But almost everything would qualify as Oleh Shulchan Aruch. Correct, even cereal milk, because if that's what he eats for breakfast, he eats Cheerios, it's Cheerios. Okay? But, and others are saying, that Oleh Shulchan Aruch means when he's functioning as a king. If our king sits and watches a football game and he's, you know, munching on pretzels, then he's not being a king, then he's just being another guy in the street. You know, he's not anything. Okay, so that's the shaila of how we should judge Shulchan Aruch. So there's a well-known to-do. Most of the American Ashkachas follow this later way, other way of saying, like Rosh Schwab thought. That Oleh Shulchan Aruch means what he does when he functions like as a king. So like what we judge it as is like a wedding, and Rabbi Reis is like a dress-up banquet, that's the way he described it. Something you have to, as opposed to when what they serve you at a bris or at a brunch, that's considered not Oleh Shulchan Aruch. Okay, that's just a way of being mocked to it. And that there's a twist in that. I said to Rabbi Reis, what do you think about if there's an ethnic food that you would serve at a nice Jewish event, but you would never serve it at a non-Jewish event.
Right.
I'm going to tell you in a second. And what do you think that food is considered Oleh Shulchan Aruch? He thought it was. He thought that food would be considered, it's Oleh Shulchan Aruch. For us, we would serve it at Shulchan Aruch. So the example of that was, I don't know if this example told her short, or Reese. The example was, I'm trying to remember the exact food that it was. It's going to come to me. It'll come to me before we finish.
Not Shalom and Kishka, I hope.
It could have been that. So that's not the right word. It's not the right example. I'm trying to remember the example. The example that we had was, they went to a caterer, they asked them about, okay, the food slips my mind. They asked him about a certain food. And he said to him like this. They said to him, would you serve this food at Shulchan Aruch? So like at a fancy wedding, we serve it. He's like this. And that's why I wish I had actually remember the example. He said, if I gave this food out at an Ashkenazi wedding, they would throw me out. I would get fired. But if I didn't serve it at a Sephardi wedding, I would get fired for the opposite, you know? Just sort of like the styles of how people, I wish I could remember the food. Anyhow, it'll come to me. Anyhow, So he's very reasonable that if it's an ethnic food, meaning a food that Yidden like, but other, but people who are not Jewish wouldn't eat, he said that is considered halal.
Okay. I don't get it. Is it pshat because a king would serve it at a Jewish event?
Because Jewish? We don't need to have a Jewish king. Point is just that, is it a chashav food? The real oil shalom comes from that. Oil shalom, what's behind oil shalom is that when the guy cooks his food for me, I feel a closeness to him because he did me something valuable. So it really depends on what I would look at. How do I judge this food? To me, is this a chashav food or is it not a chashav food?
Even though I agree, it shouldn't be served at a kinley.
No, you serve, but for me, it would serve it. If I was having at my wedding, they would serve it. So to me, you've given me something chashav. Okay, you can look at different. Okay. Now,
typically, you go with the Jews, right?
Oh, good. Right. We have to find what is the derech.
Well, what a Jewish king
serves. Yeah. Okay. If that makes you feel bad. Okay. Next is, another question is, what happens if we have a food, that's olah shochamachem, but there's different ways to prepare the food. Okay, there's different ways to prepare this food, and some of them are olah shochamachem, and some of them are not. Okay, so I have three variations of that question. Okay, the first is, what? That's my second one. Give me a second. So the first one. So you guys will remember from 97 years ago when we learned it the first time. Yeah?
Right.
Okay. So the first one like this. What the simplest case is, a guy makes a baked potato. Okay? He makes a baked potato. But he's not such a great chef. So the baked potato that he makes is not as good as the baked potato that a real chef makes that's oil shochamacham. He doesn't do as good of a job. He doesn't bake it the right amount of time. He doesn't put in the spices. It doesn't come out exactly the way it's supposed to. But by and large, the thing you're looking at is the same baked potato that the non-Jew, that is Olah Shochamacham. Okay, so there, most people assume that that's considered a food that's Ishlachim. Okay, the fact that he doesn't do it fine, just as fine of a job, but give or take, this is a baked potato. So a baked potato is a baked potato, and it needs to be Bishul Yisrael. Okay, that's the first case. The second case is potato chip. That's our second case. With there, potato chips, no matter what you do with them, no matter what, potato chips are not olah shochamacham. But there are other ways of making fried potatoes that are olah shochamacham. Okay, we're going to, for purposes of the example, we're going to say, let's say latkes are olah shochamacham. Let's just assume they are. We're going to say, it's a fried potato, that's olah shochamacham. So if we have another way of frying potatoes. But this is one version, this is a different version. Latkes and potato chips are not the same thing. So there's a question. That some people say is, since fried potatoes are olah shochamacham, so all fried potatoes need to be Bishul Yisrael. Okay? And other people say is, no, fried potatoes that look like latkes would need Bishul Yisrael, and potato chips don't need Bishul Yisrael. Okay? Most of the national American hashgachas will make go about that. Others,
because it's a different form.
Because it's a whole different food. You know, they're both fried, the question, should we compare this to potatoes, or should we not get to the baked potato or not? We're saying it's nothing like a baked potato. A latke and a potato chip are not the same food. They're both fried, but they're, you know.
I was present when Rabelsky said, when he was asked about this, at that time he said, because potatoes are not all chocolate in fried states.
So that's not addressing the question then. Then you just don't like my example.
No, he said, no, if it would be, there would be a problem.
Okay.
You're not saying that. I'm just telling you what I was saying.
Okay. Okay. That's not.
You said that's not a policy.
That's not how I heard it. Now, you, as you may know, there's a short tour from Moshe, and there's reported from Yaakov Kamenetsky that they said potatoes need Bishul Yisrael, and this would be the thinking is that because there's other ways to make fried potatoes, most hashgachas don't follow that. In there are plenty of people who want it, who say they want it to be Bishul Yisrael. It tends to go with. Things that are made with hashgachat mitzvah, like things that are made with a Hamish Hechsher goes and makes a run in a place, they're doing hashgachat mitzvah, so the hashgachat mitzvah, so one gets on the fire. It's like, hello, the guy's there anyhow, you know? But anyhow, so most of the...
But they wouldn't. Hamish Hechsher would not. At this point, they would not. The potato just be put up in Israel.
Because their people are expecting it. You know what I mean? But I don't know if that's what it's saying. I'm not sure if it started from the din or if it started from the practicality of it, but okay, that's fine. Okay, and the last case, our third case is tuna fish. And that's like this. For this example, you're gonna have to take on an assumption we're not talking about today, and that is that if a food is steaming the etzem is not a reason to get out of Bishul Akum. Okay? We'll talk about it a different time. That the fact that something is steamed might in itself make it that it's not considered cooking. Okay? But ignore that for now. Okay? So tuna, the fish itself, if you cut it up into slices and you make what they call tuna steaks and you broil them, that's olah shochamacham. clear, they serve it in a fancy restaurant. You get it at a wedding. They serve it on a wedding, but they have a fancy event. They serve you tuna steaks. Broiled tuna steaks is oil shulchan aruch. But tuna that's in your can, the way it gets into your can, it gets cooked before it gets into the can, and in the can, but it gets cooked before the can also, and that is, it's cooked by steaming. And I said to you, ignore the fact that steaming might pot you from bishlag. Put that on the side for now. So, steamed tuna is not oil shulchan aruch. You would never serve that to a company, steamed tuna. Okay, so here it's not, it's the one way of preparing the fish would be oil shulchan aruch, one way would be not. But it's not the same method of preparation. It's not like before him by the potato chips where they're both fried. Here one is baked or broiled and one of them is steamed. There's two totally different ways of cooking. So here almost nobody thinks that that needs bishul yisrael. Almost no one thinks that that should need bishul yisrael, because tuna, in theory, there's all way to prepare a tuna to be oil shulchan aruch. That's
what's the difference?
In potato chips, there are two ways to fry a potato. So fried and fried, you say, well, since fried potatoes are shulchan aruch, so all fried needs shulchan aruch, like baked potatoes, like I told you in my first case. The other side to say is that, no, this over here, one is baked and one is steamed. There's two totally different ways of cooking. You can't make steamed tuna that's shulchan aruch.
Can you steam a steak? Can you steam a steak of tuna?
Yeah, of course you could.
You don't think that would be good to eat shulchan aruch?
No, it would be pathetic. No, it wouldn't taste good. No, they're just not a way of preparing food. It's like, you know, imagine these steamed pieces.
I'm sorry, it's the reason it's not shulchan aruch. It's in little pieces, you know, it just doesn't look like.
No, that's later on. No, first it's steamed before that. When it's steamed, it's a whole fish. They steam the fish whole.
Okay, again, obviously you can't serve a whole fish, right? But
imagine, think about the chicken in the chicken soup. Okay, mm-hmm. That's close to being a steamed piece of fish. Would you serve that as shulchan aruch? No, this is not what you could serve. If you baked a piece of chicken, then you would serve it. If you cook it, like it's like sort of cooking it, you would. No, you would. I don't think you'd serve it.
You say, because cooked chicken, you wouldn't serve cooked chicken as shulchan aruch, what do you
think? No, I don't think so. Okay. Yeah, anyhow. Okay, okay. And our last thing... Our last thing is... back to eggs. And that is, we saw that it's a shayla in the Gemara, where the eggs are nechachai, because they're nechachai de'ed chag, and then we pass them l'chumra, that they're not considered nechachai, because that's not considered nechachai. So Mamela, based on that din, a lot of effort goes into making eggs bishul yisrael. Okay, so one thing is in like there are factories that make hard-boiled eggs, that's one thing. But even more effort goes into, if you have an event, like a catered breakfast, and there are what they call egg stations. There are people sitting frying eggs for you. So those stations, it's very hard to make those, not hard, it's a whole patchka to make those bishul yisrael. Because there might be five people sitting out there frying eggs for people. There's one mashgiach keeping an eye on all those fires to make sure a fire never goes out, okay? To make sure those are all bishul yisrael. A lot of effort goes into making them so those things are bishul yisrael. And the question is that the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch are talking about one part of the question, which is, are eggs nechachai? We say, no, they're not nechachai. Either nechachai deitchat, they're not considered nechachai. No problem. That's what it says. But there's the other part of the shayla, and that is the not oil shulchan aruch. That come on, there are ways to make eggs that are oil shulchan aruch. There are quiches that are basically eggs and they're oil shulchan aruch. But by and large, most of the eggs in the world that we eat, hard-boiled eggs and scrambled eggs, those things are not oil shulchan aruch.
So say they eat it for breakfast.
So because we've already said that we follow this standard for us, that oil shulchan aruch means is what they eat at a more formal event. Then nobody serves, sunny side up eggs at a formal event like that. It doesn't work like that.
Hard-boiled eggs.
None of these things. These are not served. None of those things are served. Are Olah Shulchan Aruch. According to our rules of what Olah Shulchan Aruch means, they're not served Olah Shulchan Aruch. So what goes on here is that the Shulchan Aruch says eggs need Bishul Yisrael, and Kinnereh for him eggs must be Olah Shulchan Aruch, either because he thought like the Chazanish, or because they really were. Because I mean. My mother told me when she was a little girl, for her birthday, she got an egg. That was her birthday. You know, so it was hush-up. You know, okay, so maybe that's it. But that doesn't mean that now. But what I said, nowadays it's not a shulchan aruch. Okay, so I haven't yet heard a very strong answer to that. What I said, everyone's makbid on it. Everyone is makbid on it. The question is it correct, or is there a justification?
Answer you should not English yourself. So your question is why are people makbid.
Right. In other words, But it's hard to be maker, because the Shulchan Aruch says it needs Bishul Yisrael. But the Shulchan Aruch is coming from a Gemara about whether it's Nechachai. And on that, he'd be machmir on that day. No problem. To the question, but there are other conditions over here to think about also.
Obviously, in his time, there was.
Well, obviously, you know, he wasn't. He was right to him. That was an obvious piece of information. But we have to think about that. Fraud?
Can you name one food that was once usher because it was oil on Shulchan Alachim, and then people decided, well, it's not oil on Shulchan Alachim anymore, and therefore it was going to come with it? It's very hard. Things just doesn't. The Judaism doesn't work that way.
What? Why not?
It's something that's also a diaries. It's very hard to be conveyed that this thing's going to work.
Wait. I'm asking. I'm asking in a certain sense. I'm asking. Is that
Jim? Like
No. I'm asking this. If you say to me that we always thought that meat was under Shulchan Aruch, let's say, and all of a sudden the vegetarians became a stronger force, and nobody will eat meat. For the past 3 years, nobody would touch a piece. They won't eat a piece of meat. So he says, you know, guys, it's for 1,000 years we've been eating meat. For 2 weeks, we've been listening to the vegetarians. So let's not make such a quick decision. Let's take our time before we jump on like that, just because something changed so quickly. Okay, but this didn't change yesterday. This isn't like
a day. I can hear one day in 20 years, 30 years, 40 years from now, all Rabban Master Rabban will be Mata Shah as a doctor. They'll say it's a Shabbat from that. I can hear there'll be a day we'll come with it. Now you know that very few people are out there. There are very few people are out there.
So I'm asking
this. It's the same thing. It's not 2 weeks or 2 years or 3 years or 5 years. It's like a thought. Like a generation before.
So how long do you want?
I've
been asking the question for a long time already. And it's not news that they don't serve hard-boiled eggs at weddings. It's been a long time. She probably won't want me to tell you how old she is.
How old are you?
I don't know. A long time ago. 40s,
50s?
A long time ago. So, so that's it's a question. Again, we're still not put on it, but why exactly?
I'm with the sort of